Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Katrina Daly is a playwright whose new comedy, The Lunch Punch Power Hour in Conference Room Number 4, opened up this week on the Peacock stage at the Abbey Theatre. Set in the Irish offices of a global finance firm, the play skewers modern corporate life, where jargon rules and rules actually contradict themselves. I'm delighted to say she joins me now in studio, as does Louisa Meehan from Woodview HRM, who has years of experience in this space. You're both very welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Katrina, let's start with you. The play, it's on, it's sold out. The news is good. Tell us about it.
Well, it sold out last night and the night before. So the first two nights have sold out. Long may it last. But yeah, it's all going great at the moment.
Tell us about the content of the play and how it, I suppose, makes fun of, and I think makes fun of is probably a polite way of saying, corporate culture.
Yeah.
So how does it skewer corporate culture?
I suppose it looks at the bamboozling language that can be used within kind of corporate spheres, and kind of the weird hierarchies that develop, the ones that are kind of the official hierarchies and the unofficial hierarchies between colleagues. And yeah, so it's looking at that and the kind of silly rules we make for ourselves and that the corporations make for us as well. So, yeah.
And was this grounded in your experience? I know, maybe to support your acting and production roles over the years, you've worked in offices, you've worked in places where maybe the work wasn't always great.
Absolutely. Fortunately, I have never worked as an actor as well, just a writer. But no, I've worked in offices, in and out of offices for about 20 years. So I've done banking, I've done solicitors firms, I've done barristers, I've done doctor's offices. I've done lots of different kinds of office jobs.
In customer facing roles.
In customer facing roles primarily. So for a writer, it's great fodder. I can't lie. It's been really rich.
So Louisa, from circling back to boiling the ocean, these terms, they really are infuriating, I would call them.
They are. I think I'll lean into this conversation. They really are. I mean, I it's not something that I've ever enjoyed in the workplace. I like to talk simple, clean, direct language. That's my preference. I've got in trouble for it a few times. But there's a lot of corporate jargon out there, a lot of acronyms. So one of them I came across recently is D or TL. Any ideas?
Don't. No, I'm sorry.
No ideas. Come on, Bobby, any ideas? D or TL?
No.
Didn't read too long.
Oh, stop.
Oh, wow.
Stop.
Makes perfect sense when you know. Another one recently that came up, I was in a meeting with somebody and they talked about SPF.
Like
St. Patrick's Day festivities.
Oh, okay. No, would have gotten that wrong.
Would have got that wrong too. But it comes up all the time and people get so used to using language, internal language within organisations, that they forget that the rest of us really haven't got a clue what they're talking about.
I heard somebody on a Zoom call saying, let's circle back once we have aligned cross-functionally. And somebody says, sorry, could you mind telling me what that means?
That makes perfect sense to me. I know what you're trying to do here.
So, Katrina, tell me then about how you came to write this play. How did all that evolve?
I suppose it was a reaction to a few different things. I think there's great theatre in Ireland, but we're not always great at doing kind of modern plays. Yeah. And I think it's important for people to see themselves on stage and what they're viewing. So I kind of wanted, I think when I look at Irish society today, most of us are in offices every day. So I wanted to create a story about that for people.
Yeah, great.
So that was a big big impulse. And yeah, I think the world feels a bit weird at the moment with everything going on environmentally and politically. And we're all kind of stuck in offices watching it on TV. So came out of that as well.
And the quest for these individuals in your play is that they've got to spend the budget of the corporate social responsibility.
There's a surplus.
And decide how to spend it over the 1 hour lunch break in conference room number four.
Yes, and they conduct a very strange ritual in doing this.
Okay.
So there's a kind of a newish employee involved in the meeting, so they're completely confused as to what's going on between the corporate language and the strange activities.
Louisa, this is not just about language and jargon. If you talk about company culture, how does it evolve? How do these things become commonplace in one business and they're not evident in another business?
So when we talk about company culture, there's two different types, and people typically merge them without understanding the difference. There's the corporate culture, and that's the culture, as I say, it's the nice, bright, shiny words that are up on the wall that we all aspire to being. You know, we want to be loyal, we want to be customer focused, we want to be honest, whatever it is that we're saying that we want. Okay, so that's what somebody has decided. The real culture, though, is the organic culture. And that's the felt culture that people within the organization actually experience. The two might align in some areas, but oftentimes do not align, certainly don't align in all areas. And being able to identify and articulate what the felt culture is really tricky, because if you're working in a large company, you know, even when I say large, like even over 40, 50 people, different departments, different teams will have a different felt culture depending on the leader, the people manager within that team, within that organization. I think a lot of it comes back to how we felt when we were probably teenagers, maybe kids. You know, when you want to fit in, mm-hmm. and you need to speak the language that your friends are speaking, you want to dress the same. Like my kids go to Educate Together, so there's no uniforms. They all wear the same clothes, you know. They want to fit in. They want to blend. They want to be accepted. That doesn't leave us. So when we go into a corporate culture, we want to fit into that culture. There are some leaders who drive it and drive change within that. The majority of people are trying to fit in, and you'll see that they dress the same, they can talk the same, they can go to the same restaurants. When I worked in one organization, I would say 50-60% of the senior managers who had enough money went to the same place in Portugal on holidays every year.
Oh,
and lots of them owned houses.
You're digging up more.
Exactly. I was like, where is that? Can I just not go there?
Yeah.
But isn't it true though, Katrina, that if you look at if you work in a company and just say it's part of the best places to work, or it's winning awards for a great place to work, and you're miserable there, doesn't that kind of make one kind of angry that there can be a corporate speak that gives out one message and the reality being something totally different?
I'm always a bit suspicious of those kind of awards as well. How much did you pay for that title, you know? But I think generally, from my experience with working in offices, it all trickles down from the top. If you've got a really kind of decent person running the organisation, I think everybody tends to be happy.
I think you're right as well that those kind of practices generally evolved from the person at the head of the organisation.
Absolutely.
As in, that's the way they like it. And as Louisa says, people want to conform. People don't really want to be unhappy. They largely go along with things. But, you know, I often laugh at this sort of idea of being force-fed pizza and beer on a Friday night when I'd prefer to be out with my friends.
Yeah. I think well-being in some areas has gone a little bit too far. I love well-being. I'm all for it. You know, meditation, mindfulness, looking after ourselves, our organization's caring. But, you know, one thing I would say is I don't want to be doing down face dog with my colleagues. I'm sorry. It's too far for me. It's a step too far. And I think we need to be respectful that everybody's version of well-being is different. So for some, it might be beer and pizza with their colleagues. For other people, it's sitting at home watching a Disney movie with their kids. That's what they want to be doing.
Yeah.
And a whole range of things in between.
All right, last word to you, Katrina. Remind our listeners about the play, where it's on, and how you can get tickets.
Absolutely. So the Lunch Punch Power Hour in Conference Room 4 is on the Peacock stage at the Abbey Theatre. We're still in previews, but it opens next Wednesday, the 6th of August, and it's on until the 6th of September. So we'd love everybody to come and see it and have a laugh at themselves for a bit. So.
All right. Well, look, it's a great piece of work, and I think it reflects the modern workplace. So thanks for coming in to tell us about that. Louisa Meehan, as always, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Bob.
For your analysis. Greatly appreciate it.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.